Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is living and active. We thank you, Lord, that your word penetrates right to our hearts. And Lord, this morning we want to submit our hearts and our minds to what you have to say to us from your word. So just bless us, and Lord, may this message be glorifying to you, and may it stir us to know you more and to serve you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly," "we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled to those who are perishing, the God of this age has blinded the mind of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made the light His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body." Amen. Amen. So, it wasn't until Indiana Jones appeared on our screens that archaeology became exciting. Up until then, nobody really thought of archaeology as being an exciting thing. But, of course, Indiana Jones, he had the excitement of going searching for amazing artifacts, the Temple of Doom, the Ark of the Covenant, the Holy Grail. And these movies were filled with action, adventure, falling out of airplanes, car chases, fighting enemies, all these amazing things. But, of course, real archaeologists, they were pretty quick to say, that's not what archaeology is all about at all. It's nothing about this. So archaeologists, as we know, are mainly turning over the dirt. They've got little brushes and they spend hours and days and weeks and months archaeological sites just carefully unearthing these artifacts and treasures. And my wife and I, Sarah and I, we love to watch particularly YouTube videos about archaeology in Israel. And how even over the last 10, 20 years, they've unearthed amazing things in Israel. And even though archaeology can't prove that the Bible is true, one of the things that fascinates me is that all these finds that they've found over like 150 years, what they do show is that the Bible is tremendously accurate. Yeah? And what we have here is a really reliable document that we can depend on. And so if you watch any of these archaeology videos, one of the things that they get really excited about is jars, pottery. Pottery really excites archaeologists because it tells us a lot about the history of the site that they're looking at and what went on over the centuries. And so clay jars are really important. Normally, it's not whole clay jars, it's bits of clay jars, and they pick up little fragments, and they can tell so much from them. And some jars are beautiful, but mostly the jars are plain. They're for real use. They're for domestic use, but they're still very valuable to archaeologists. And I was reading that pottery is one of the most ancient arts that's still practiced today. And the way that a potter makes a clay pot today really hasn't changed that much from down through the centuries for thousands of years. It's the same way they create pottery. And I don't know if you've gone and watched somebody, or maybe you've done it yourself, throwing a pot and using their hands and making that pot into something amazing. And mainly, pots are used for holding stuff for cooking, for carrying water, and for these kind of normal domestic functions. But you know, in 1947, a little Palestinian boy threw a rock into a cave in Israel, and he heard a crashing sound. And when he went and looked in the cave, he discovered all these clay jars filled with scrolls, which we've come to know as the Dead Sea Scrolls nowadays. And these were documents that went back thousands of years. And again, it proved the accuracy of the Bible, because even though things like the scroll of Isaiah was discovered there, and when they compared it to what our Bibles today are based on, they found it was tremendously accurate, exactly the same as what we have today. So it really shouldn't surprise us that there are many references to pottery, both in the Old and New Testament. This art has been done down through the centuries, and it's referred to in the Old and New Testament. But the first kind of mention of pottery, of somebody taking clay from the ground, dirt from the ground, and forming something for use to be filled, is actually found right in Genesis chapter 2. And this is what it says, you can see it on the screen. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and that man became a living being. It may surprise you to know today that according to this verse, you are a vessel made by God. You are actually a vessel created by God and created for a purpose. You know, there's many things that we are referred to as in the Bible, those who belong to Jesus and follow Jesus. We're made in the image of God. We're referred to as God's creation, God's people, even as the children of God. But right from the very beginning, men and women, mankind, was clearly seen as the vessel of God, formed for a purpose, formed for God's purpose. And to understand what this means, we have to ask the question, what is a vessel? What is a vessel? A vessel is an object that's used to hold or contain something. And it could be used, it can be made of all kinds of materials. We have all kinds of vessels today, made of glass or metal or wood, stone, or of course clay that we're talking about this morning. You know, not long ago, my daughter bought me a couple of mugs from Granville Island, and they're meant to hold coffee or tea, but they're so nice I don't use them. They just sit in my display there. But they are made for a purpose. They're made to actually hold coffee or tea. And a vessel is different from a tool or a utensil. A vessel is meant to contain something. A tool or a utensil is meant for doing something, right? And so we are primarily, the first mention of us is as a vessel meant to contain something. And so our primary purpose is not to do something for God, but to be a vessel for God. Our primary purpose, not to do something for God, but to be a vessel for God. And so often being involved in Christian ministry for quite a number of years, it's quite something to say, I do this for God. I'm involved in this ministry for God. This is what I do. That's what that video's been a little bit about. This is what we do for God. But anyone who's been involved in ministry for any length of time will tell you that what we contain is much more important than what we do, yeah? The effectiveness of what we do is by what we're filled with, what we contain. And I would go so far as to say that our doing is only made effective by our containing. Does that make sense? So what we contain is more important than what we do. And so, when God made the earth, and he made human beings, he formed human beings out of the dust of the ground, he did it in a very specific way. It said, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And when God created mankind, The very first thing he did in chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2, is he filled them. He filled them with something, and it says that God breathed into them the breath of life. God's life was breathed into us, and man became a living being. And the original purpose for mankind has always been to be containers for the life of God. We're always meant to be filled with the life of God so that we could do the work of God, filled with his life so that we could do his work. And the original work was simple. It was to look after the Garden of Eden. That's what God gave for Adam and Eve, our very first ancestors, to go and begin to look after the Garden of Eden, the garden that what he had created. But you know, something has happened to that original purpose. That purpose of being filled with the life of God and doing the will of God, doing the purpose of God. And I don't have to tell you much about it. You know, a lot of time in my life is spent, I live in Maple Ridge, but I'm traveling every week to the downtown east side. And you don't have to spend a lot of time in the downtown east side to see that there are broken people in this world, yeah? And it is probably very visible in the downtown east side. We see people who are so broken by all kinds of things. Just recently, a First Nations family that we are connected to just lost their daughter. This is the second child they've lost to fentanyl poisoning, yeah? And their daughter just died last week. They're just arranging the burial in Bella Coola this coming week. And she left behind five children. She was a mother of five children, and she died. And there's so much brokenness we see in the world. But we don't just need to look at the downtown east side or our people living there. When we look around our neighborhoods, when we look around our country, we look at our world, and we see the terrible things that are going on. We just talked a little bit about what's happening in Israel and Ukraine and all other parts of the world. We see that we live in a world that is broken. We are broken vessels. We're not whole. And, you know, we look at our world, we can look outwards and we can see what's going on. But even when we look inwards, I don't know about you, but we see the brokenness in our own life, yeah? We see how we've been impacted by this world. And so to understand this brokenness, we need to really go back to our original ancestors in the Garden of Eden again. Go back to how that high calling of mankind to be vessels, to be used for God's purposes, has been broken. And so we go back to the Garden of Eden and we look at our first ancestors, Adam and Eve. And God made an amazing garden for them. He gave them every tree of the garden to eat of. They could eat of anything they wanted, but he had one exception, not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and not to eat of that tree. And so that was the one exception they had. And yet, even with just that one exception, first of all, Eve was tempted by the serpent, Satan. Satan came and tempted her with the fruit of the tree, because he said that she would be like God, knowing good from evil. And Eve was tempted, and she took the fruit, and she ate it, and she gave it to Adam, who was with her, and he ate it as well. And so in that moment, sin entered into the world. Rather than being obedient to God and following God's good purpose for Adam and Eve, they decided rather to pursue their own selfish ends, their own purpose in life, and sin entered into the world. And the result of that, of course, was separation from God. They were cast out of the garden, and separation from God, and eventually death. And death came to them. And so this act of Adam and Eve, this rejection of God's purposes for us as vessels of God, has impacted the whole world. And from the first parents, this brokenness has been passed down from generation to generation. This sin nature has been passed down. And all who are born, even cute little babies, are born with that tendency towards the sinful nature. And so Romans 5:12 says this: when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. And so because of the sin of Adam and Eve, the world came under the influence of sin. And we now experience that outworking, not only in our lives, but in the lives of others, and even in the creation round about us. The whole world has been consumed by sin. So not only are we born in sin, but we're broken by sin. It's sin that breaks us in our life. And that happens emotionally, physically, spiritually. We see brokenness when we look inwardly. And I don't know about you, but many of us can look back at incidents in our life where something in this sinful world has impacted us so much, it's led to brokenness in our lives. And I'm not sure if you recognize that in your own life, but as we look and examine our hearts, so often the brokenness that comes from the effects of sin in the world. And we can look back at how we've been broken often by this world. But also, each of us is not innocent in ourself. In ourself, that sinful nature has caused brokenness to us, but also to others round about us as well. And all of us have rejected God's good plan for our lives in some way or other. All of us know the pain of guilt and shame because we pursued our own purposes rather than God's purposes. Paul says it in Romans 3, we know this verse really well. Very simply, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God's original purpose as vessels, we've fallen short of it because of the brokenness in our lives. And so we may look at our own lives and see a lot of brokenness. Sometimes going to sleep at night can be difficult for us because it plays on our mind, it plays on our hearts. Life hasn't turned out the way we wanted it to be. Sometimes we're disappointed with how life has been. Our dreams can often be affected. But the good news is, and what we're here today, that's looking at the bad news, but the good news is we know someone who is able to mend broken vessels. Amen? We know a Savior who can bring healing and restoration, and restoration of ourselves as vessels suitable for God's purpose and for God's presence in our life. And so in Jesus, our brokenness can be made whole. This is what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2. But God, who is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ Jesus from the dead. It is by God's grace that you have been saved. And you know, we've all felt that holding the broken pieces of our life at some point. We've all felt asking the question, can this be put back together again? Can my life be restored? Can I have meaning and purpose in my life again? Sometimes it's a broken heart, a broken relationship, broken dreams. But we can bring them to the Savior, the one who can make us new again. And you know, if you remember just before Jesus went to the cross, here was the perfect Lamb of God, the Son of God, who was without sin and without brokenness in his life. But just before he went to the cross, he gathered his followers, his disciples together in the upper room, and he took bread and he took wine and he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body broken for you. And then he took the wine and he said, this is my blood shed for you. This is the new covenant in my blood. And so here was Jesus, who was completely sinless, but he gave himself to be broken through a flogging. And then on the cross, his body was broken. He was broken on our behalf. He gave himself to be broken. And he was completely broken physically. It said he was marred more than any man, scarred and bloodied more than any man. Emotionally, he was separated from me. My God, why have you forsaken me? And then spiritually, he carried the whole sin of the world. He took upon himself the sin, the perfect Lamb of God, taking on the sin of the world on our behalf. And his brokenness was so that we could be made whole again. We could be made right again with God. We could be made perfect again. We could be made towards perfection. And in the third day after he died, Jesus rose from the dead as a seal, as a confirmation that our brokenness can be healed and we can be restored and we can be made new again. And so this is the wonderful good news of the gospel of Jesus. Those who hold the broken pieces of our life, they can be restored again. When we look to Jesus, the innocent, sinless Son of God, who died on a cross on our behalf, and we bring the broken pieces of our life to him, then they are healed again. Jesus doesn't just forgive us for our sin, he restores us. He makes us new again. He puts the pieces back together so that we can be vessels of God, so that we can be restored to our original purpose of holding God's life in us and doing God's work through us. Paul writes this: "We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure." This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. Yes, Jesus can fix any vessel. He does it by recreating us. Remember what Paul also wrote: anyone who's in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And therefore, if you're born again, if you've received Jesus into your life, if you've offered him your life to be put back together again, you are a vessel. You're again a container fit for his use. You've been forgiven, made clean, so that God can dwell within you first and foremost, and then he can use you for his purposes. First of all, as a vessel, we are made ready again for God's presence. We're vessels of God's presence. Just a few years ago, my wife Sarah and I went to Jerusalem, and we were so pleased when we were there that the Temple Mount was open, and we could actually go onto the Temple Mount. And so we made our way up there to the Temple Mount, and we don't really know where the temple exactly was, but we tried to find the best place where they reckoned the temple was, and we stood right in the place where the presence of God used to dwell in the temple of in Jerusalem. And as you remember, the children of Israel were, when they left the Promised Land, they were given the Ark of the Covenant, which they carried with them into Israel when they left Egypt to go to the Promised Land. And then they put that Ark of the Covenant right into the Holy of Holies. And we read when the temple was built, when Solomon built the temple, the Shekinah glory of God came and it dwelled over the Ark of the Covenant. And the power of God, the presence of God, came to dwell with his people. And as we were standing there, the thought occurred to me that even though the temple is gone, destroyed in AD 70, no more temple there, you can still see the stones cast down. Even though it's gone, the presence of God was still right there at that moment. Because my wife and I were standing there, vessels of God, not because we are better than anyone else, but because we have submitted our life to Jesus. And because he's filled us with the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that Jesus operated under is in us. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in us. And any of us can be in that same situation when we come to Jesus and we give our lives to him, then he fills us with his Spirit. Listen to what he says in John 14. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." What an amazing verse. The vessels are restored. The purpose of mankind has been restored to be vessels for God's life to live in. Praise God. And so Jesus is about restoring our original purpose. And so many people in our world are going through life disillusioned. They've tried so many things to fill the void of purpose in their life. And Jesus stands and says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And that rest has been restored to God's original purpose, being in communication with God, having his Spirit dwell within us, and being fit for his purpose. And of course, day by day, we still make choices, don't we? We still have free choice. But our destiny as believers in the Lord Jesus is to be filled with his glory and to demonstrate that glory to the world. Someone says it's like a glove without a hand, and then the hand is put in the glove, and the glove comes alive and it has purpose. And that's what it's like when we give our lives to Jesus. He gives us a purpose. And so from one man, Jesus, dying on the cross. And then remember on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and dwelled in these disciples, 120 in the upper room. And then from there, 3,000 and 5,000, and the church has grown, who knows how many today, billions of believers in the Lord Jesus who have been restored as vessels to do greater things than Jesus did. That's what he said. You'll do greater things than these because you'll be filled with the Spirit of God. And so we are now vessels of God's presence, but also vessels of God's mercy. And God laid out in his word the ways of justice and the ways of righteousness, but also mercy. And we have been recipients of God's mercy. We sung about it this morning, how despite our sinfulness, God has given us mercy, and he's poured out his grace and his love into the world. And we are not only recipients of his mercy, but we're vessels of his mercy to go to this world and to demonstrate what God can do to broken lives, because we are also broken. We are the body of Christ. He is the head. And he comes with his master plan for his vessels, which is to go and to bring the good news of Jesus' restoration to the world. He requires us to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. He wants us to minister to the poor and the broken, to the downtrodden, to the brokenhearted. And he's called us to go out and to be vessels of his mercy. And now, I want to do a quote from C.S. Lewis, who said this: "Now, the whole offer which Christianity makes is this, that we can, if we let God have his way, come to share in the life of Christ. If we do, we then shall be sharing a life which was begotten, not made, which always existed and always will exist. Christ is the Son of God. If we share in this kind of life, we also shall be sons of God. We shall love the Father as he does, and the Holy Ghost will arise in us. He came to this world and became a man in order to spread to other men the kind of life he has, by what I call good infection. Every Christian is to become a little Christ. The whole purpose of becoming a Christian is something, is simply nothing else." Sorry, didn't get that next slide. It's simply nothing else. And so, of course, little Christ, that's what Christians were first called in Antioch. Little Christ, because they reflected the life of Jesus. But of course, when we think about that, when we look at our own lives, sometimes we have to look down at our shoes, at our feet, because we realize, compared to the life of Jesus, we're so much less than what he demonstrated when he lived here on earth. We're containers, but we also carry brokenness. We are broken. But you know, Paul says that we can be transformed, we can be changed, we can be renewed. He said this: "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work." And even though we remain aware of our past, we remain aware of our brokenness, God can cleanse us and use us for noble purposes, for holy purposes. It can fill us and make us useful for his purposes. You know, I love the story of Gideon in the Old Testament, one of my favorite ones, when he was this young guy who was terrified of life and what was going on round about him. He was hiding in a wine press and sifting wheat. And God took that young man and immediately called him Mighty Man of God. And he began to, even though Gideon was well aware of his weaknesses and his limitations, God used them for his purposes, to free his people from an invader who was coming. And it was interesting that what he gave him as a weapon was a clay pot and a torch. And he had 32,000 men, then it was 10,000 men, then 300 men, and he had to go and fight hundreds of thousands. But God made them to stand around the enemy camp with their clay pots and their light, and to break the clay pot and let the light shine forth. And, you know, that's really what we're about as well, isn't it? It's letting the light shine forth. You know, one of the art forms that I think is really beautiful is the Japanese art form of kintsugi. And what the Japanese do is when a beautiful vessel, a vase, is broken and shattered, they don't discard it, they don't put it in the trash. What they do is they put it back together and they fill all the cracks with gold. And so here's this beautiful new thing made out of what was previously broken and shattered. And it's a great picture for me of what God does in the lives of men and women today. When we offer the broken pieces, he puts them together so that his glory shines out, so that his glory shines forth. And so we are vessels for his mercy. The cracks in our life that have been made whole are our testimony to the world that we have a God who heals broken lives. And then not only are we vessels of his mercy, we're vessels for his word, the gospel. The clay pots that held the Dead Sea Scrolls held the word of God. But in a different way, we hold the word of God in us. We are a container through the word of God. Paul talks about how Israel was given the oracles of God, and they were meant to be a nation that demonstrated God's ways to the world, and how we were meant to live under God's law, and how we were meant to prosper under God's law. And of course, they failed so often. But then God sent the living word, Jesus, into the world, and Mary was a container for a while of the living word of God, as she offered herself, and through the virgin birth, Jesus was born into the world. And now Jesus, the word of God, has come to live in us. And so we are vessels of the word of God. And we have been chosen to bring God's word to the world, to bring God's ways to the world. And so the very oracles of God are alive in us. And not only do we have the word of God, but we have the Holy Spirit in us that makes these words alive. And what an amazing thing we do. We don't just bring the presence of God. We don't just bring the mercy of God. We bring the word of God. Because that is the way that our world can be made whole as people begin to live according to God's word. So, broken vessels. You know, this morning, God wants to restore us and renew us. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never brought the broken parts of your life to Jesus. Maybe you're still carrying brokenness, the brokenness in your life, and it's never been healed. This morning, that same Lord Jesus is present with us today, and he wants to heal the brokenness in your life. But you know, as Christians, we also carry brokenness, yeah? Yeah? And so Jesus wants to continue to heal your brokenness. Christians aren't superhuman beings who haven't been affected by the world. We're not superhuman beings who haven't been affected by our own sin. And daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, through different seasons of life, we have to bring our brokenness to God. And this is a testimony of the people of God, that when we come to him, he heals our broken hearts. Amen. So I just want to pray. I want to give a couple of minutes for you just to pray. First of all, to thank God, just quietly, for healing the brokenness in our lives. But also maybe if there's something that is in your life that's broken this morning, and you need to bring it before God and say, Lord, here's some broken pieces still in my life. I need you to come and to heal and to restore. Then make that your prayer this morning as well. We thank you this morning that even though you were the perfect Son of God, even though you were born without sin and lived your life without sin in this broken world, Lord, we thank you that you were willing to be broken in our behalf. We thank you, Lord, that you gave your life for us. You took upon yourself our sinfulness, our brokenness, and you bore it to the cross. Lord, and on the cross you paid the penalty for our sin. You died on our behalf so that we could live. You were broken so that we could be made whole. And Lord, this morning we just want to thank you and praise you. And yet, Lord, we recognize there's brokenness in our life. And Lord, give us the strength. Lord, give us the courage to bring our brokenness before you, not only this morning, but day by day, week by week, to allow you to do that healing process in our life, that we might be containers fit for your use. Lord, we want to be vessels that are filled with your presence. We want to be filled with your spirit. We want to be filled with your mercy, filled with your word, that we can effectively minister to a broken and hurting world, Lord. May we be your hands and feet, reaching out to the brokenness in our community. May we reach out even in prayer to our broken world, and maybe sending people out to minister to other parts of our nation and world. Lord, bless us, Lord. Help us to be known as those who, even though we've been broken, we've been made whole. And to offer the gift of the gospel to those that we come in contact with. So bless us, Lord, we pray. Lord, help us to be filled day by day because we're cracked and we leak, and we need to be filled by your Spirit day by day. So just bless us, Lord. Enable us in Jesus' name. Amen.